In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, dear friends, today we celebrate the Feast of the Archangels. And of course, if we talk about the archangels, we could ask, how many archangels are there? Right. And perhaps you'd be quick to answer and say there are three. And there's a reason why we would say three, but the actual proper answer is seven. There are seven archangels. And the archangels, they are the commanders of all the other angels. So we have all the guardian angels, they're the lowest, ninth choir. The eighth choir are the archangels. They're just second up. So if you can imagine how powerful an archangel is, they're still kind of low on the totem pole, right? They're only the eighth choir. Makes you imagine what these other choirs look like, the thrones, the principalities, the dominions, right? How about the cherubim and the seraphim? The seraphim are the ones closest to God. Their name means the burning ones. They burn with the love for God. So we have the archangels, seven of them. And all the angels, the ninth choir, they're divided up in seven battalions. Right? And they're under the commander of an archangel. So there's seven of them. But why would someone say there's only three? Well, because we only have the names of three. And there's a good reason for that. Because God's telling us that's all we need to know. So he tells us the other four are none of our business. So they're performing some function that we don't need to know about. It's not a part of public revelation. And I know there are various private revelations that tell us the names of these angels. I know the name of them. I've studied these private revelations. Here's my caution. I don't mess around with angels. Right? Because if you start messing around with angels, you might surprisingly find yourself worshiping Lucifer, who is an angel. So if Mother Church and public revelation says there's three by name, then I go by three. Pride revelation, whatever. Right. We go by the three. But why would God only reveal three? Why not just tell us all seven? Who's in the club, right? Why just the three? Well, I would argue that he's actually revealing something important to us. So he tells us about Michael, the warrior, the fighter. He tells us about Raphael, the healer. He tells us about Gabriel, the messenger, the announcer of good news. Again, that should fill us with great hope that these archangels are sent to us in order to help us. But what else does that tell us? If God is only revealing three of the names of the seven of the archangels, he is describing for us essential functions, not simply of the angels, but get this, functions that we ourselves are supposed to be doing. For the other four archangels are working just as hard and performing just as essential functions according to the providence of God. But God has revealed the three to us. Why? Because we are supposed to be doing those same functions. We are to be providing those same ministries in the midst of the world. We're supposed to be announcing good news. Why are so many of you quiet? Why is it that you have been taught to be ashamed of the gospel? You do not speak openly of the holy name of Jesus. You know, Scripture tells us that at the name of Jesus, the devil has to bow. And he hates the bow, for he is an arrogant spirit. So the more he can get us not to say the holy name, the better. Huh? Don't reference anything or just reference abroad God, right? Because if you say Jesus Christ, there's power. Huh? Why is it that we have been taught, domesticated, into not speaking about God or the things of God or of moral truth? You know, there are people who are even silent when the vulnerable and the weak are attacked and mistreated. I saw years ago a footage of a man with special needs who was being beaten up on the streets of Dallas, Texas. The crowd watched and cheered the abuser on and made sure that they got it recorded so they could post it on their social media. They did nothing. They did nothing. They said nothing. That's barbarism. I can understand such behavior among the unbeliever. I pray that they might have some type of virtue, but I expect very little from the unbeliever. But I'm shocked if I were to find that any of those people in that vicinity were Christian. For as Christians, we are called to speak. We announce, we proclaim good news. We do not allow ourselves to be silenced. My goodness, if only the enemies of goodness, of life, only if they could learn to be silent, then the children of God were to speak. But how is it that we have failed to speak? We have learned to be quiet. We have been shamed into silence. Meanwhile, those who are the enemies of morality and goodness, of truth, of life, they're so bold and so arrogant and so loud. We're to imitate Gabriel in announcing the good news. And Gabriel's there to help us. And his whole battalion of angels are there to help us. So if we say, oh no, this one's going to go over like a pregnant pole vaulter, we say it anyway. The unborn are persons and merit the protection of law. Marriage is between one man and one woman for life. Immigration is good, but can only be done to the degree that the host nation can contain it and is always in service of the common good of that nation. Dear friends, the truths go on. So many things that must be said. So many things that God has entrusted to us and given us the clarity in order to know. And yet we have been silent. We are to be like Gabriel, announce good news. We are also to be like Raphael and to heal. We are to be the ones that are the first to suspend judgment and give compassion. This is what confuses the fallen world, because they see our high moral demands, the way of life of the Lord Jesus, the way of love, and they think, well, if they hold those demands, then they must be so judgmental and so unwilling to forgive. And yet, what do we find? What should we find in the Christian? Strong moral demands, but a willing heart to forgive. We must be the first to reach out to the last, the lowest, the least, the forgotten, the abandoned, the vulnerable, the ones on the periphery. The ones who have abandoned themselves, their own dignity, who have forgotten that mercy is possible, who have surrendered their souls to despair. We are the ones who are to go out and to be the healers. And we have Raphael to help us and his whole battalion of angels to help us. And then we are to fight. Yes, dear friends, we are to fight. We are to argue and to demand goodness and uprightness. That starts with our parents. How many Christian parents have abandoned their homes to the devil? Because they're worried about what their children think of them. How backwards is that? Parents, let me help you. You're not supposed to care what your kids think of you. You're supposed to be worrying about what God thinks of you and about fulfilling your vocation. Grandparents, you're right there. You're the grandparents, right? You know, grandparent isn't found in the scriptures, but patriarch and matriarch are. And they have high moral expectations. It means you are to be the ones who fight for goodness. Tell your grandchildren, you should not cohabitate before marriage. Remind your grandchildren about the morals we are called to, the integrity of the body, the kindness to which we are called to, the worship of God. We are to fight. And we go in the midst of the world, we are to fight. I saw this video of a woman who was on the subway of New York. And there was a pornographic advertisement on the subway. And she walked right up and tore it down. Someone started recording her, thinking that, you know, she was going to get in trouble. And the woman made her way to each part of the subway and ripping down the poster in each one. And said, this is disgusting. This is filth. Right? Someone posted it and said, God bless this woman. May she always have strength. Right? But it shouldn't just be one woman. What would happen if every Christian were to stand up and say, enough. I will not allow you to put that filth in the public domain. I will not allow that anymore. Do you know if every Christian were to stand up and do that, they would be forced to take it down. So then why is it still up? Because so many Christians have become compromised. So many Christians have been domesticated. They don't want to fight. They're so worried about everything except the praise and glorification of God. So, dear friends, what we have in these three archangels, the reason why they've been revealed to us is God's actually not simply disclosing these archangels. He's actually telling us what we're supposed to be doing. And if we want these archangels to be close, we better be doing what they're responsible for. For how can we be wimps and expect Michael to want to be with us? How can we not heal and be stuck in judgment and expect Raphael to be with us? How can we expect to speak nothing but criticism and gossip and think that Gabriel will want to be with us? So with that understanding, how close are the archangels to you? How close are they? I remember once hearing the story of a nun who told a bunch of school children that every time they prayed to their guardian angel took one step closer to them. Right? So they say the guardian angel prayer, they take one step closer, the guardian angel. Right? And every time a prayer would not be said, the guardian angel would get farther and farther away. And of course, the point the sister was making was pray to your guardian angel, right? Now, I wouldn't explain it like that, and there's probably theologians who would do backflips trying to explain why that should not be said, right? But it helps us to understand if we want the angels to be close, we should be doing what the angels do. For seriously, do you think the archangels would be happy hanging around with us if we were not doing their work? Dear friends, the archangels want to be very close to us. They and their battalions want to strengthen us, fortify us. For the work that the archangels do is the work of the people of God. That's supposed to be the work of the baptized, to announce, proclaim good news, to heal, and to fight for what is right and good and true and noble. That's our responsibility. As we celebrate this Eucharist and as we ask the archangels to draw closer to us, I pray that the archangels are known to you, that you have not allowed them to become strangers in your own discipleship, but that every day in the vocation to which God has called you, in the state of affairs to which his providence has sent you, that you are allowing Michael and Gabriel and Raphael to be close to you, for you are fighters, proclaimers, and healers.